Welcome to the future. Get ready to explore how spirituality and science will come together in the Age of Aquarius. Hosted by JC Nova.
Welcome to the future. I'm JC Nova, and today on the show, I'm excited to welcome Patty Campson, an amazing intuitive astrologer and crystal healer. She shares her wisdom on love, relationships, and how to follow your heart in the age of Aquarius. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, Patty.
Hi, JC. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to dive right in. When did you first discover astrology?
So astrology has always been in my world as a little girl growing up in the 60s and 70s. Astrology was kind of conversations that people had in my family. So it was always kind of there. So I knew astrology, just the topical stuff. But then when I was married and my now ex-husband had a huge event happen in his life, and always being intuitive, I kind of really opened up to astrology because I felt like it was more tangible and gave me validation for the intuitive information that I was receiving. So I would say in the early 90s, mid to late 90s, is when I really started seriously studying astrology.
What do you love most about astrology?
The best thing is that it really gives you information about how a person's energy works, feels, how they operate. I've used it with my children, raising my children. They were kind of like my lab rats. So I got to really see how the energy acts in its purest form. So it's really been helpful to just kind of see how people naturally work with, say, like my son is a Pisces and I'm a Pisces, but we're different because we have different placements. Our risings are different. So how we interact and how we operate is different, but at the core, we are similar with our Pisces sun.
Do you think understanding astrology helped you in raising your children, and is it a benefit to you through work and how you communicate with family, friends, and loved ones?
For me personally, it's a great tool because it's a language, and it's a language I thoroughly and totally understand. So raising my children, it was a great tool because what I know and how I operate at the core is great, but being able to look at my children's chart and see, oh wow, this isn't how they naturally operate. They are, like my youngest daughter is a Scorpio rising. That is a very strong, powerful energy. So I had to get strong and powerful and pull from other things in my chart to be able to fertilize her, to be able to be the best Scorpio rising energy that she can be. So that was truly helpful during the time I was raising my children. And coworkers and friends and family, it gave me an understanding to know when to go in and be assertive and know when to understand that this is who they are. I just need to be able to understand and have grace, give forgiveness, and not take it on as my own, as there's a problem with me if they react or respond in a certain way that's not in my favor. Instead of taking it in internally and basing all my decisions moving forward on that, I can look at the astrology of it, look at the cycles and patterns that they're in, look at their sign or what's happening, which allows me to move through situations, I would say, with a little more ease. It's never simple or easy, or I don't have problems, but at least I have a tool to use to help me navigate with a better filter.
Do you think astrology is an art or a science?
I think it's both. It's definitely a science because we're using mathematical degrees and we're using all kinds of sacred geometry to look at aspects in a chart. And then it's an art because you're working with the universe. You're seeing how things are manifesting or connecting, but then you have to use your artistic, intuitive brain to kind of read the energy that's happening. Because when you're co-creating with the universe, it's miracles happen. Things that are unexpected or expected are happening. So it's a science and an art. From my point of view,
what do you think is the biggest misconception about astrology?
There's so many, right? The biggest one is that there's only 12 signs. So how can you just say that every Pisces is a certain way? And when you're dealing with a professional astrologer and looking at astrology chart, you know that there's every sign and every planet in a chart. Every sign has 30 degrees. Everything is constantly moving. A chart is dynamic. So there's all kinds of movement. So even with twins, there are degrees in every sign. There's 360 degrees in a circle. So it's like people can activate different aspects of that same sign, and then put on top of it, you have 12 signs. Multiply that by 360. So yes, it is complex. It is deep. It has a lot of information. So I think that's the biggest misconception.
Why do you think people feel so connected to certain zodiac signs, and then they also have an instant dislike, say, for certain zodiac signs? I have a friend who she's like has this love-hate relationship with Virgos, or maybe she only dates Leos. I'm just curious about that.
I know. Isn't that funny? So there is a rhyme or reason to that. And just like I said earlier, we have every sign and every planet in our chart, and it's a matter of how it is placed is kind of where people fall in your chart. It's kind of hard to say this not having a visual, but just think of a pie with 12 slices, and those 12 slices are the zodiac signs. And in those 12 slices are different planets depending on the day that you were born. So I know I have literally four friends with the same birthday, and it ends up in that degree ends up being at the very top of my chart. So my most public area of my chart. So I attract people, those people, and I seem to really connect with them. And then sometimes you, for people that you don't like, it may be, for me personally, I have really seen that the people who connect with my south node, which is a past life or a very strong karmic connection from a past energy, I have a hard time with. Those people that connect at that area of my chart, I have a hard time with. So yes, people in general have certain areas of their chart that they're either working on, or that it's a place of reward, like say at the top of my chart where I get to meet with these people or connect with these people that are easier for me, or people in your life like you, JC, that may have a hard time with certain aspects in your chart. And it's a certain degree.
Do you think that the person that you have the most challenges with, or the, say, the zodiac signs you have the most challenges with, are the ones that provide the most growth for you?
Yes, in a real bad way. No, I'm kidding. Yes, it certainly when you really want to open up to that space and make it an opportunity of growth, yes, it can be a true healing and growth opportunity when people challenge you the most. They are there as a service for your growth. But we as humans sometimes, of course, point fingers and don't want to see the opportunity and put it all on them, and then we miss it. And when those people come and hit my south node and I know it, I really pay attention and say, uh-oh, okay, it's time. It's time to do more work. Let's go.
So we have an upcoming solar eclipse on December 4th. What is that going to mean for us spiritually?
So anytime there are eclipses, it's a real time for shifts and change. And eclipse cycles happen in a nine-year pattern, a nine-year and a 19-year pattern. So when you come up to, like, we're ending this Sagittarius Gemini cycle, and the last time it happened was in 2002, 2003, you look at those patterns and see the growth. You see the change. So what we're going through right now, with this being the last eclipse of 2021, as well as the last eclipse in this cycle. In Gemini Sagittarius, it's about information and truth. So we have definitely been feeling that longer than these last 18 months. But a Gemini Sag eclipse cycle is about information and how we process it and how it comes out and the truth of it. The Sagittarius is about truth and justice and spirituality and philosophy and diversity. So all those things have been triggered during this cycle. So with a solar eclipse, that's a new moon and it's a total solar eclipse. So it's even that much more powerful. So what is your truth? What is the truth that you want to move forward with on Friday or Saturday, depending on the area of the world you're in? That's what is being triggered. That's what's being opened up for us to look at with this solar eclipse.
What can we expect in the next major astrological moment from a social perspective? I know today Germany announced that lockdowns for unvaccinated people following Austria's recent announcement a couple weeks ago. It feels like the energy is continuing to shift. And do you feel like we'll ever return to pre-COVID days, or can you give listeners kind of a glimpse into what to expect for 2022?
I don't think we will ever go back to pre-COVID days, similar to 9/11, when all of that changed for us with travel and trusting what the world has out there. We are ending an aspect that started in 2020. It involved Saturn and the planet Uranus. They have been at odds since 2020. And Saturn is about the old guard and Uranus is about the new guard, and they have been battling. And so that battle is going to end in January. It's going to be really intense. They're going to have their exact connection at the end of December, but we're going to feel it into January. So 2022, there's some huge other aspects happening. One being that Pluto will have its Pluto return for the United States chart, which is huge. And then we're going to be completing this Saturn-Uranus connection with the old and the new. And the age of Aquarius, you know, ushering in this age of Aquarius energy. So there's a lot of layers happening as we move into 2022. And it's really about destroying what was to be able to rebuild what we are moving forward into. So any time that we're in a moment in history of utter and complete change, mindsets, social mindsets, money mindsets, economy, food, all of it, technology is in complete and total change. It's like, even when I'm saying it, I'm seeing all of this stuff, like somebody just picked up in the sandbox and took all of the sand and just threw it up in the air. And it's for us to figure out, oh my gosh, what are we doing? What are we doing with our food consumption and growth and all of that? What are we doing with our technology? How is it affecting us psychologically? All that stuff is happening right here, right now. And it's like a storm and we're all trying to make sense of it. 2022 is almost like the climax. All of 2022 is going to be the climax of everything that's led up to right here, right now. And I don't think it's going to be real easy. The ending point, there is no end, but the ending point to this story is going to unfold into 2024. So we have a 2-year period to kind of come to a place of, oh, this is where we're going to start to build. This is the foundation that we're going to build on. Right now, there's so much confusion and hate in the world. How can we build on anything? There's so much polarity. We're in a time of having all this stuff up for grabs. And in this process between 2022 to 24, we're going to start to organize and start releasing and removing things to start creating our quote unquote new world.
How will the age of Aquarius change global consciousness?
I think we're expanding. Scientifically, we are truly looking into how limited we have made ourselves. We are truly learning how huge and grand consciousness truly is. And that, you know, us being in this third dimension, we are starting to really know that the other dimensions are right here, right now. And that we are so much more than we ever thought. There is so much to explore. And the age of Aquarius is going to give us the information to be able to explore it even deeper.
You write that Aquarius energy is always ahead of the pack. What does that mean for us? And for all the different zodiac signs, I think a lot of people are saying, is age of Aquarius affect different zodiac signs differently? Or is there's age of Aquarius affecting us on a global consciousness level, and then it's brought down to how it affects us on a daily basis with our circle of loved ones, family, friends, work, and things like that?
Yes. When people say, what's the best signs I get along with? Instead of saying for me that you don't get along with Pisces and Aquarius or Pisces and Sagittarius, because they're fire and water, I say it's more of a working relationship. You have to be more conscious and put more effort into making the relationships work. Because we all know people who have different signs that we can say that they don't get along, but obviously they do. They get along, but you have to consciously work at it. It's not just an easy breezy relationship. It's something that you have to put effort in. As we're moving into the age of Aquarius, Aquarius is about the unknown, the future. It's about technology. It's about opening up to things that we're not comfortable with. It's about opening up to things that are outside of our realm of knowing and allowing that to come in. It's Aquarius, I call it hummingbird energy. It's just high, high frequency energy that vibrates to the outer realms of our comfort, which allows us to grow and change and move into that. And we're seeing that right here, right now. Technology is exponentially expanding and growing. It's amazing the technology that we're moving into.
What are some of the positive changes we can expect, and what challenges will we face in the age of Aquarius?
There's so many positives. Aquarius is about community, and it's the great awakening. It's about technology. It's about space travel, new advances. It's about leveling up or shifting our justice system and medical advances and innovations. It's going to be a wonderful time. But with that, Aquarius is also a fixed sign. And a fixed sign sometimes doesn't like to see the gray. And Aquarius can sometimes be very fixated on certain situations or areas. That may be where the struggle lies, with not getting fixed on certain things, but being able to still be flexible and movable and changeable.
So should we expect the unexpected during the age of Aquarius? I know that some people are very optimistic and looking forward to it. I'm one of those individuals. However, of course, with any changes, there's always going to be challenges. And I'm just curious what your perspective is.
For sure. We should always expect the unexpected with Aquarian energy. It's a beautiful thing. It's going to be what it's going to be. It's going to be expansive. It's going to be uncomfortable. We're going to see things that we thought we would never see in terms of science and the quote-unquote aliens, or what I like to call multidimensional beings. We're going to really open up to things that have made us so uncomfortable and have created such great fear, especially how the people that are coming into this lifetime now, the children that are being born, they're coming in at a different vibration, a different frequency. They have different energy. Where that comes from, I don't know. But we are evolving as humanity. We are changing. We are shifting into a different vibration. So that's part of this Aquarian age as well. As we see that people are more fluid. They're not male. They're not female. They're not only in male-female relationships. They are in all kinds of relationships. People are starting to identify as all kinds of different things. That's part of the Aquarian age that we're living in right here, right now.
Due to the pandemic, a lot of our work and how we study has changed quite a bit. Most people during the pandemic worked remote, unless you were a frontline worker. Kids had to learn virtually. Do you think that will be a trend that will continue in the future? More people will be working remote. More students will choose to study virtually.
Fortunately or unfortunately, I think so. I mean, we do have those that have to get out and work every day. And we appreciate that because we need our people who pick up the trash and deliver mail and work at the grocery store, and our doctors and nurses. All of those people have to go in and do their daily work. But there are many people who have benefited and will be working from home. And because of technology, the way that it's advancing, it makes sense. So yes, I do feel like that will be a continued trend.
How do you feel like the pandemic has going to affect young people when it comes to relationships and how we communicate? For example, if you go out to a restaurant, many times you can see a group of four people sitting together, and instead of talking, they're just sitting there looking at their phones. Do you think that we're going to be, with the metaverse coming and virtual reality, that there may be a disconnect socially for us?
I'm sure there already has been, but I have hope that the heart will win, and the heart needs connection. It needs to be able to interact with people. So right now we're going through this shift and change, but I do feel that we will get back to that one-on-one relationship, talking, all of that, as well as having all these technological advances of interacting and all of that. But we still need to have that face-to-face, heart-to-heart, belly-to-belly interaction. That's what makes us human. That's the biggest part.
Very true. So for people that are, I don't know, whether they're struggling or say they're moving into a new home or they're trying to find love, I know that you work with crystals. And if you can take a moment to talk about how you became involved in crystals and what are some of the benefits that crystals provide people in enhancing energy or clearing out negative energy.
Definitely crystals are part of the Aquarian age. I've always been attracted to crystals. I got my massage license in 2000, the year 2000. And one of the reasons I got the massage license was because of doing energy work. And in the state of California, it was said that to touch people legally, you needed a massage license or, of course, be a doctor or a nurse or something. So I got my massage license for that purpose. And doing energy work, I would work with crystals. And I love crystals, but it wasn't really for the beauty of it. It was more of the purpose of what they served. So I always used them. But during the pandemic, I was surrounded. I just got attracted to them and I just kept buying them. And sitting at my desk at my computer, they just started to multiply. I don't know, JC, I don't know how that happened. Well, maybe I kept buying them, but I just was in the space of these crystals and my energy just shifted in a really good way. And then I just started arranging them and seeing the beauty in them. And it just set off a whole new love and appreciation of what the crystals really do and what they really are. So crystals are not only beautiful and magical, the energy that they have really makes a difference. It is scientifically proven. Crystals are used in all kinds of things, from watches to computers to computer chips, all kinds of things. And they are energy conductors. And so when you look at it that way, they're energy conductors for us as well. When we know that everything is energy, you and I are energy, and we vibrate at a certain frequency, as well as crystals, when you put them in the same room, meaning yourself and crystals, you start to vibrate at a similar frequency. So if you have crystals that are about love and healing, that's what your vibration, your frequency is going to naturally want to connect with. So that's what crystals are for me, and that's what crystals can be for everyone when and if they're open to it.
What's the best crystal if someone is trying to find love? What is one of the crystals people should purchase?
The best crystal, of course, is rose quartz for love. It connects with your heart chakra. It's about love and compassion and healing the heart. Rhodochrosite, rhodonite, those are also great crystals for love. Pairing them with a clear quartz, because clear quartz amplifies energy. Putting the rose quartz or rhodonite or rhodochrosite together with that clear quartz really amplifies that love energy. So that's a great little combination right there.
What about if someone has just recently purchased a home or they're moving? What are the best crystals to clear out negative energy or to clear out old energy and invite new opportunities into a person's life?
So going to a new space, the best two crystals that I suggest is black tourmaline, which is about grounding, protection, and releasing negative energy, and pairing it with the clear quartz that amplifies that energy and creates clarity and grounding. Those two crystals in your home, near your front door, near your back door, and in your bedrooms are a great source of protection, clarity, and grounding.
So everybody's always excited towards the end of the year. We have our New Year's resolutions, and everybody looks forward to astrology predictions for 2022. Are there any astrology predictions that you would like to share with us that, or give us the inside scoop on what we can expect?
So I don't have any exact predictions. What I do know for sure is that 2022, we're having the Pluto return with Pluto is going to the exact position it was when the United States came to being in 1776 on July 4th. And so when that happens, which it's never happened ever, because this is the first time, the last time Pluto was in this area was in the 1700s. So now it's going to be there again on February 20th, 2022. And that's in a couple of months. So when you have an exact aspect, especially with the planet Pluto, Pluto is the planet of transformation, destruction. It's the planet that wants to change from the ground up and really get to the core of what is good and what is bad and what is everything in between. So Pluto went into Capricorn in 2008. So if you look from 2008 to where we are now, you can see the huge changes this country and the world has been through. So when it hits directly in February, there's going to be some kind of big happening. What that happening is going to be, I cannot say. But then Pluto goes retrograde. And then it's going to go retrograde and it's going to hit that spot again in June and July of 2022. So between February and June and July, there's going to be some things that we're going to have to make adjustments with and make some big changes. So that's why I'm saying 2022 is going to be a year of climax, a year of happenings, like big events happening. And then 23 and 24 are going to be the years that we are going to clean up, have clarity, and get things to a place where we can start building from a clean slate. But from now until then, it's going to be a little messy. That's my prediction.
So how do we all come together to help raise the vibration? Obviously, we're all in this together. And any insight or tips, I know that people struggle and may not have a big support group around them. So what can we do for each other to help raise the vibration during this time frame?
It's so simple. And I know I can sound like a Pollyanna, but truth is truth. The answer is love, plain and simple. The biggest issue that we have that creates so many problems is fear. Fear is is the catalyst for all the things that create the problems that we're going through. Fear of power and control, fear of your neighbor, black, white, Asian, Indonesian, whatever it is. Placing fear on all these things is the root of our problem. If we could just lead with love and compassion, we can change everything. We all truly want the same things in life. We just go about it differently. If we could just lead with love and compassion and acceptance, that's the answer from my point of view. so simple, yet we create so much fear and anxiety and make it so hard when it truly is just leading with love.
That's wonderful advice. Be kind to others. So where can listeners reach you if they'd like to get an astrology reading or learn more about crystals? How can they contact you?
They can go to my website, crystalenergyarrangements.com, crystalenergyarrangements.com. You can get a reading. You can schedule a reading on that site. You can look at crystals. You can schedule a private viewing of crystals, especially if you know exactly what you're looking for. I do arrangements. I do custom arrangements, which is for people who really don't know anything about crystals, but they love them. And I just have a 15-minute consultation with you, and we discuss what you're looking to invite into your space, into your life. I look at your astrology chart, and then I create a beautiful arrangement packed full of crystals and energy for you to welcome into your space to help to start shift the energy in your life and in your space.
Great conversation, Patty. Thank you so much for being on the show, and I wish you happy holidays and a happy new year.
Thank you so much. Same to you, JC.
You just heard the Age of Aquarius podcast with your host, JC Nova. Remember to subscribe to the show on your favorite streaming platform. Thanks for tuning in.
Age of Aquarius is a Cosmic Media production and recorded in Los Angeles, California. A special thanks to our producers, Georgie Rutherford and Christopher Lang. To learn more about Age of Aquarius, please visit our website at ageofaquarius.fm. Thanks for listening.